So we've been working on a series just on the times and seasons. We want to conclude that series today. But we've been talking about just the happenings of our time, of our world, and how those happenings, how times, how they both, how should they affect us? So that issue of how is your life going in the world as you live out your life and live out the times and seasons of your life. But we've also taken thought for how should we affect the happenings of our world. Well, what is it that we should be doing? What is it that you should be doing to help to make the world go? So we've been considering both of those things, how the world should affect us and how we should affect it. We've not talked, obviously, about everything, and we're not going to recall all that we've talked about during the series, but I thought I would just recap some of the things that we've talked about, put them together in a little bit neater type of package. I very much hope that your life on Earth has a delightful, almost mysterious, two-sided feel to it. On the one side, I hope just the fact that Earth is God's creation. I mean, you're an earthling. And He has given to human beings to know and to enjoy His creation. I hope that gets reflected and known in your life. Everything created by God is good. Nothing needs to be rejected. And that means it's right and good for us. God intends for us to share in all the things of His creation, all the goings-on of Earth, all the wonders, all the beauties, all the glories, all the delights. All of them come from His hands, and He means for human beings, those created in His image, to know and enjoy those things, to participate in, you know, so land and sea, mountains and valleys, days and nights, men and women, steak dinners, lightning storms, eagles flying in the sky, weddings, kings with their armies behind them, all of the happenings of Earth. I hope that you know them as God's creature and enjoy them. So I hope on the one side your life has this very connected and affirming relationship to God's creation. This is my Father's world type of feel. Yet I also hope that your life has another side and another feel to it. I very much hope for you that the world stage is not the big stage for you. In the scriptures, matters of this life, matters of this age, are frequently referred to as the little things, the small things. I really like that. Decisions about earthly matters are the lightweight decisions. What we eat, what we drink, the clothes we put on, the shelter over our head, those aren't the big things for us. The kingdom of God is weightier than those things. Caesar is to be honored, but there are greater things that are due only to God, rendered only to Him. It's good to be faithful, you know, in the handling of money and things, but the scriptures remind us being faithful in the handling of money and things is just being faithful in the little things, in hopes that you'll be trusted with bigger things. The city of man is important, but it's the city of God for which we hope. So I very much hope there's a sense in your life that the world stage isn't for you, the big stage. The Lord has appointed times and seasons, the times and seasons of earth. And our times are in His hand. I very much encourage you, exhort you, enjoy. Yet times, by their very nature, all times pass. Famous saying, to move with the times is to go where all times go. Right? So the world is passing away. And we are a people for whom our greatest issues, our greatest hope, have to do with things that do not pass away, have to do with things that abide. So I very much hope that you flourish in the earthly. Enjoy the times and seasons of life. I hope you die, to use a really neat biblical phrase, I hope you die full of days. That's how Job died, full of days. But I also hope that there blows through your life an air of otherworldliness, where there's kind of this sense about you, the earth is good, but it's not really my home. Just an alien and a stranger here, belong to a different age, different kingdom, searching for a city whose maker and architect isn't some human person, not myself, but whose builder and maker is God. If I pause just for a second, when you speak about times and seasons, I hope perhaps even today to say something that'll be useful to you this week as you live out whatever the times and seasons of your life have upon you right now. I would be glad for you to find something useful for a benefit for this week. But having just sang a song that's taken from the book of Revelation, it's a little bit of insight into how Roger's weird brain works. But sometimes when I'm praying for you, my concern is not just help him, help her through this week. It's knowing that you are going to stand on that day when Jesus Christ is revealed. You will be there when there is not any creature who can stand, because they all will bow. You will be there. And I say, Lord, I don't want to just help him or help her with something this week on their busy schedule. I would like to say something, be of help to him or to her for that day, when every knee, every creature in heaven, every creature under the earth, every creature on earth, past, present, and future, bows. Because you will be there to help you for that day is a deep desire of my own heart. I want you to know, we're to help each other with those same things. After the service, when you enjoy some fellowship, maybe you'll encourage somebody for things they got going on this week. An illness, a need, a job hunt, whatever it might be. Help each other with things this week. But you also know that we help each other against that day when hopefully we'll stand complete in Jesus Christ at the revelation of His glory. So I hope there's delightful two-sidedness to your life. So to recap some of the things that we've just talked about, I think to do well with the times and seasons of life, all of us need the insight and we need the wisdom that's found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a whole book dedicated to what goes on underneath the sun. It's written by a person who had great wisdom, person whom God Himself had given wisdom. And this person with wisdom takes a whole book and tells us how life is under the sun, how the world is underneath the sun. And I think we need that insight, we need that wisdom. In that book, he reminds us, this wise guy reminds us, that the world is often topsy-turvy. Evil is not always immediately punished. The probability of you sinning and subsequently get hit by lightning is very low. And righteousness is not always immediately rewarded. Bad things can happen to good people. Bad people can get good deals. So the world is very topsy-turvy. What goes on underneath the sun, what it is that you see. Be careful about drawing conclusions, because the world is topsy-turvy. Perhaps larger, I think all of us need to walk well with respect to the vanity and the futility of earth. There's much on earth that's bent, and it can't be straightened. It won't be straightened while the sun endures. The courses of earth are circular. A lot of life is like being on the gerbil wheel, where you run really hard, don't get really tired, but don't go anywhere. A lot of life is like that because the courses are circular. Generation goes, a generation comes, the sun rises, the sun sets, hastens to its place, it rises again. You get up, exercise, go to work, make some money, buy some food, eat the food so you can go to sleep and get up in the morning and exercise and go to work and do it until you die. Right? So there's like a vanity, a futility of earthly life. The wearisome and vain task that God has given to the sons of men to be occupied with, says Solomon. You need to walk well with respect to the vanity, the circular courses of the world. I think in that vanity, in that circular course, there's also like a sadness of earth. There's like a sorrow that permeates and is the backdrop for almost all of earthly life. Earthly stories do not end with people living happily ever after. Earthly stories end in death. Death is the final chapter for all earthly stories, no matter how you have lived. Billy Graham's earthly story is going to end up at a graveyard, as well as Hitler's story ended up at the graveyard. All earthly stories end up at the graveyard. And not only do all earthly stories end in death, but as we move through life, it takes a while to get us up to speed, and then fairly quickly you go over the hill. Now, I'm not exactly sure what age that happens at, but it's pretty early on, right? And then after that, you just kind of fight the long defeat, right, all the way down the hill. You fight a losing battle. The prime of life passes quickly. And after that, the story is one of just gradual decline. Ecclesiastes says kind of like the evil days come. If you're watching the Olympics, kind of like how many folks are competing over the age of 40? Not many. A lot of people over 40, but they don't compete in the Olympics. They're all past that by now. I'm not that old, but I have lived long enough to see people I watched play the game, now they just comment on it from the sidelines. I've watched roles being reversed, where parents were caring for their children, and now the children are caring for the parents. I know guys who enjoyed taking their shirt off at the gym, and women liked wearing bathing suits at the beach, and now they do such things reluctantly, if at all. I've watched baby boomers, of whom I'm one, move into the workforce at the rate of 8,000 a day for 18 years. And now I'm watching them exit the workforce at the rate of 8,000 a day for 18 years. So there's a sadness and a sorrow to earth and how earthly stories go that you need to be wise about. Your story is going to go like that. The story of everybody sitting around you is going to go like that. God has appointed a time and a season for every event under heaven. If you live many years, you will have many times and many seasons. And many of the times and seasons will be almost the exact opposite of some other time and season that you've had in life. You'll have a time where you're building, where you're planting, and there will come a time where it's time to tear down what you built and uproot what you planted. There is a time when it was right to walk towards it, and there will come a time where now you need to turn around and walk away from it. There will be a time to laugh, and there will come another time when it's time to mourn and to cry. There will be a time to embrace, There will be a time to keep your distance and to stay apart. There's a time to fight. There's a time where you give up and concede. There's a time to search, to look. There's a time to give up as it being lost, lost cause. There's a time to speak, time to stay silent. Many different times. And often the current time undoes, and reverses a previous time. So I want to encourage you, in all of the times, enjoy. That's the reward that God gives. Enjoy the work of your hands, whether that's running a Fortune 500 company or doing crossword puzzles. Enjoy the work of your hands. Enjoy the food and the drink that's on your table, the provision for this day. Cherish those loved ones who are at your side and share the journey with you. Enjoy those things. So I think if we're going to do well in the times and seasons, we need to be wise with the wisdom and the insight of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes helps us know how to live while under the sun. Ecclesiastes knows that however you live under the sun, in 100 years, the dust will be returning to dust. So it helps us know how to live well, given that that's so. So we talked about that. While we live out all the seasons and times of our life, we are to be salt and light to the world. So we talked about that. Being salt and light is not just something to do. It's interesting that in the scripture it's not given as a command. It's go be salt, go be light. Jesus just said in the indicative, it's just something that you are. You are salt for the world. You are light for the world. You help preserve. You help season. You help enlighten the world. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. Being salt and light involves reminding the world, I think, of its ABCs. We talked about that. The world has elementary principles concerning how the world is and how it works. Like the ABCs, if you want to run a good world. There are such things. Part of being salt and light is to remind the world of what the elementary principles are, what the ABCs of the world are. The world, of course, typically thinks it can determine its own set of ABCs, can make up its own elementary principles. We remind the world that the Creator determined the ABCs. We bear witness to the world that God is in the picture. Though the world tries to forget God, though the world tries to hide from God, though the world tries to turn its back on God, though the world tries to deny God and pretend that God's not there, we remind the world that God is in the picture. And we also tell the world that He's in the picture as God. That He creates, that He sustains, that He rules, that He judges, that all of us have to do with Him. We remind the world that He's in the picture as God. We also, of course, remind the world that He loves, that He forgives, that He redeems, that He reconciles. There are many issues, I think. If we made a list again of the hot button issues, there are many issues where I think the first thing that we want to say, first thing we want to say about that issue to the world is we do not get to decide. God decides. It is not for us to define reality. We don't define who the human person is. We don't define what's right and wrong. God gets to do that. We don't define what's acceptable sexuality. God does that. We don't get to determine whether God exists or not. He decides that. We are not the measure of all things. That's what we say to the world about many issues. We are not the measure. God is the measure. God can remove us from the picture, but we cannot remove Him. Even if we close our eyes, he doesn't disappear. We cannot demand that God appear before us and give an account of his own doings to us. We can't demand that. But he can demand that we appear before him and give account of ourselves. So salt and light to the world. That's what we are. So you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Be careful not to lose your saltiness. Don't conceal the light that you have. The world needs it. So to walk well in the times and seasons means being salt and light to the world. Next one. So we talked some about the world affecting us. The scriptures want us to know that in the last days, difficult times will come. The times will be difficult in the last days because of what we will encounter out there. Out there in the neighborhoods, in the cities, in the rural areas. What you will encounter out there will make the times difficult. But also, what will make the times difficult is how all that stuff that's out there, or sometimes it's the stuff that's missing out there, stuff that's been lost or neglected and is now gone, that ought to be there, all those things that are out there, they can stain us. They can affect us. They can influence us. They can color us. They can tint us. And James says that true religion is to keep ourselves unstained from the world. So it's important with all the stuff that's out there, all the stuff that's taken for granted and is so prominent in the world, to keep that from staining yourself, for us to keep that from sustaining ourselves. Conformity to the world, accommodation to the world, is a very large issue for us, both in how we do life together, but also how we conduct our individual lives. So in our times and seasons, both as individuals and our times and seasons that we share together, it's very important for us not to let the world determine the whole playing field and what the issues are. But accommodation and conformity to the world as far as lifestyles, as far as schedules, interests that we have, perspectives that we take, means that we avail of ourselves, ways that we go about things. It's easy for us just to get all that stuff from the world and take what the world says is right as a given. And we tend not to like being different from the world. We don't like to be disapproved of by the world. The Los Angeles Times gives us a negative review, we hang our heads. Because, man, we really want it to be liked by the Los Angeles Times, or the city of Pasadena, or the state of California, nor the federal government. We don't like being disapproved of. We don't like to be fools for Christ. We don't like to be seen as foolish before the world. We want to be players. We want to have a place at the table. So to keep ourselves unstained, because a lot of the things out there are contrary to godliness and to a way of life that's godly. One way to keep ourselves unstained, to keep ourselves from conformity to the world, is to dress differently than the world. The good things that the Lord has put within you, put inside of your heart, the faith that's there, the hope that's there, the love that he's caused to spring forth and to dwell inside of you. To put such things on for outerwear, it's a good thing to do. Arm yourselves with different kinds of clothes than the world wears. Approach your day tomorrow, wearing faith and love as a breastplate. So whatever you deal with tomorrow, wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever issues you handle, whatever occupies you, right there on the outside, be armed with, clothed with, faith and love right there over your heart. And whatever goes on in your head, comes out of your mouth, let it be governed by the hope of salvation, the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. when the great things that the Lord works and creates inside of us are worn on the outside, I think we find ourselves being people who do that long list of cool exhortations in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we looked at. We esteem others who serve and help us, who do us good. We're able to pray without ceasing, to rejoice always, to give thanks in everything. We're able to hold fast things that are good, having tested everything. We're able to abstain from evil, no matter how it looks, whatever its form. Have the wisdom and the strength to abstain from it. If you're wearing right there on the outside, wearing as your clothes, a breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of the hope of salvation. So dress differently. If you're the only person in the office tomorrow, or at the school, or on the playground tomorrow, who's dressed in faith, hope, and love, kind of like a Soviet. Good things to wear in order to walk through times and seasons like we should. And then one other thing that we talked about with respect to our relationship to the world and how it affects us is remember Lot's wife. Remember, Lot's wife got in trouble because of the hold that the things of the world had on her heart and mind. And when she needed to leave it all behind and walk away, she had to look back. If you want a good strategy for your earthly life, travel light. I think that's a very good strategy. Travel light in a couple of senses. Whatever you have. And I'm like, hold it lightly. So you had to turn around and walk away, whether behind you your house is a one-bedroom apartment or, 16-bedroom estate. Hold it lightly so that when you need to turn and forsake the things of the world and leave them behind, they don't have a grip on you. They don't weigh on you. They're not heavy for you. So in that sense. But also, I think it's wise for us to think of in just the very simple sense of sometimes less is better. Right? It's not like it's easier to turn your back on the one bedroom than the 16 bedroom. It could be that the person with the 16 bedroom is successful in turning his back, and the person with the one bedroom turns back. That's possible. But it's easier to leave the one bedroom than the 16 bedroom. So sometimes, be less than you can be. Drive a less car than you possibly could afford. And fewer clothes than you could possibly. Do you need that many clothes? How many shoes does one person need? You only got 2 feet. So sometimes the clutter and the fuss. Just less is better. So travel light. Make it a backpacking trip. To travel light means we're doing well with respect to others. We're not worried. We're not anxious. We're not weighed down with all the worries and cares of life. So remember Lot's wife. And the thing that tripped her up is, not some disapproval about how she was living or where she was living, but the hold that it had on her, which became evident when she had to walk away and had to flee, and she couldn't do it. And then just one more thing. In all the times and seasons of life, all the happenings of the world, all the goings on in the world, all the knowns of life, all the unknowns, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. The world is not going to come apart. The world's not going to end because of some bad things. The bad guys aren't going to be able to blow it up. God knows all about the bad. He knows about the evil that's resident in the human heart and what it's capable of. He knows it. And He has promised to sustain the world, to keep it going, springtime and harvest, daytime and nighttime, the seasons and the times. He's promised to keep it going until His purposes are accomplished and fulfilled. and no one is going to thwart his purpose. So the world isn't going to end because something bad happened, some evil catastrophe. The world will end when the Lord brings it to an end, because all that he wanted to accomplish is fulfilled. So don't be afraid. I think when we were talking about that image, how often we run up to each other and get the grab firmly to each other's arms and say, "Do you know what's going on in Sacramento? Get on the computer right now and send an email. We're going to go down in flames." And if we're not going to go down in flames, whether you should send the email is a good thing to consider, but it's the gripping of the arm that I'm concerned about right now. Don't be afraid. God is on the throne. His purposes for his creation will not fail. And he has promised to keep the times and the seasons, all the machinery and happenings of earth going until he's ready for it to end. So remember Jesus' words. In the world you have tribulation. He knows that the world is under a different prince. The ruler of this world is the enemy of God. So he says, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I have overcome the world. So don't be afraid. The one whom we follow has overcome the world. And he will rule over it until all of his enemies are a footstool under his feet. So there's just a recap of some of the things we've talked about for times and seasons. Be wise about life under the sun. To know how to live well for the few fleeting years in a world that's passing away, you need insight and wisdom. We need the insight and wisdom of Ecclesiastes. Live as salt and light, preserving, seasoning, declaring, revealing to the world some of the things that the world needs to see. It's ABCs. And they can't forget God. It's a perilous state to forget God. And so be salt and light, reminding the world that God's in the picture, and he is indeed God. We have to do with him. By doing that, we both bear witness and we give help. Help that the world needs, desperately needs. Don't be conformed to this age. Don't get stained by it. Again, staining doesn't mean that defines all of who you are, gets down really deep. It just colors you. And it flavors you. It tints everything that you do and everything that you say. Keep yourself unstained from the world. Armed with clothes of love and faith and hope. So that when you walk away from an encounter with a friend tomorrow about fixing your car or something, you see that person was wearing, the person had, was wearing hope on their head. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody wearing hope on their head, but you know, that's kind of interesting. There, Becky's wearing hope on her head. And travel light. Not worried, you know, not anxious, not weighed down. Not even worried and anxious and weighed down with stuff to do for Jesus. We talked about last week with not just worried about what the world, but when Jesus is at your house and there's so much service to be done because Jesus is there, be worried and bothered about all that. Just serve faithfully. But don't be weighed down with the worries and cares of life. Don't be a person who loves the world or the things of the world. Remember Lot's wife. And don't be afraid. God has made promises to sustain the earth until his designs are fulfilled. The one whom we follow has overcome the world. The times and seasons will not come to an end until he returns in glory. Anything that's going on in the world that might signal the end is near is for us but birth pangs. That the day is nearer now than it was yesterday. And we lift up our heads because our salvation draws nigh. And our Lord is right at the door. So don't be afraid. be afraid of the happenings of the world or what's going on in the world or what it all means. He's overcome. And we're in his hands. So hopefully that recalls to you some of the things that we've touched on and helps us all in times and seasons of life. Let's close in prayer.
Father, you who are the creator of heaven and earth, Father, you who appoint the times and the seasons for us all, for us individually, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for all the wonders and the beauties and the treasures, Father, of your creation that you've given to us to share and to know and to enjoy. Father, we do just honor you and give you thanks. Father, I pray for each one here that they would enjoy, they would find from your hand the reward that you yourself intend. Father, for human beings, for those whom you create and those whom you love. Father, help us to be salt and light. Help us not to lose our saltiness or to conceal our light. Father, but to bear witness of you, of your word, Father, of your law that holds and governs and rules, sustains. Father, may we be faithful witnesses, Father, to the message that the world rejects often but needs so desperately. Father, we pray that you'd help us to keep ourselves unstained. Father, may we not be colored or conformed, Father, to this age. Help us to travel light, Father, with our hearts and our minds set on things above, Father, seeking your kingdom, Father, not worried or bothered or weighed down. And Father, with our eyes fixed on you, we would not be afraid. But we would take courage and be of good cheer, Father, as we await the day. Father, we thank you for the times and seasons of our life. May we be of help and encouragement to one another in them, we pray. Father, for your glory, for the spread of your gospel. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.